blessing, Freddie. I'm so proud that you were able to go to Green Turtle Key, and we're so glad that you had a wonderful time. I've already checked on you, make sure your doctrine was right, and everybody just was thrilled with you. And so that's good. Now, boys and girls, I'm not going to keep you long. That's why I let Brother Freddie say a few words. That's important. That's Green Turtle Key, by the way, in case you were not aware of it. And he'd been there once before, but this time with a different mission, to preach the Word of God. Now, I want up front in particular, because, or someone with a good loud voice, but you got to be very quick about it. I want somebody to quickly read Matthew 1:23, and I want you to really read it out nice and loudly, okay? First one that gets it, that like that we won't be too long in the meeting tonight. Amen. The next one is chapter 2. Close your Bible now, Senior. Chapter 2 and verse 6. Some girl, quickly. There. Very good. Who will rule or will shepherd my people, Israel, okay? All right. Next one is the same chapter 2, verse 18. Quickly. Please keep your Bible closed, though, to be fair, all right? Verse 18 of chapter 2. Right. Okay, close your Bible. Chapter 3. All right, and verse 3. Okay, one more. Close your Bible. Chapter 2 and verse 15. Wait a minute, 2:14, I'm sorry. All right, now read verse 15. Okay, now, what is the thing you notice about all the verses that we read tonight? Can you tell me one thing very noticeable? Brother Freddie will give you a prize for this one. All right? Somebody, come on. What is it that's so noticeable in the verses we read? Pardon? Yes, that is important, but that's not the answer I want. Did you notice all of them were what? Predicted in the Old Testament. Every one of them are quotations from the Old Testament. Now, if anybody could come along and tell you that our Bible is not true and it's all mixed up and wrong, they just don't know what they're talking about. That's why we put a lot of emphasis on the Word of God. Because of its accuracy, these are quotations that we had. The first one, a virgin shall bring forth a son. Hallelujah. And that son, of course, is God's divine son, beloved son. And so much can be said about the son. But one thing about that particular prophecy, that he is going to have something he never had before and he will never lose again. What is it? Oh, a little catchy, eh? A body. All right? He was a baby. He never was a baby. He never had a body. And, you know, in glory, when we shall see him, in fact, when the Jews will see him in the world of nations, when he comes back, the Jews in particular say, what mean ye by those wounds in your hand? So he's still got a body. But the thing is this, a son given. That son is God's beloved child. And so much is said about his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Oh, but the son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And we thank God for the sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the second verse, very quickly. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. But he's not only the son, but he is a shepherd. And I like the fact of this, because the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd that giveth the life for the sheep. And that shepherd is one who cares for the flock. And young people, he cares for you, and he will help you, and even in the hour of temptation, the hour of trial, when the devil always whispers in our ears, he's always there to shepherd us. And he shepherds us up and protects us from the ravening wolves of the world. And there are many of them. The great wolf, of course, is the devil himself, who wants to devour and tear. He's called a lion who seeketh to devour and destroy. And so our shepherd is there to protect us. He is a great protector. And all of these quotations from the Old Testament in reference to his birth. But the second one is a little different. And that's the one in verse 14. Out of Egypt I call my son, because he is not going to leave his son in Egypt. Now what does Egypt speak of? Whenever we, spiritually speaking that is, we use the term, maybe figuratively will be better, or symbol, symbolically, and don't want to complicate it. But whenever we speak of Egypt, it's a type of the world. Egypt is a type of the world, and he's not going to leave his son in Egypt. Of course, there are many lessons you can draw from that. He's there, he's a separated one. I'm thinking of that which goes with the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. There's a difference. The Christian can isolate himself from the world. Can you? You work with the world. You go to school with the world. And so you're there continually with the world. When we speak of the world, we're talking about people now. We're not talking about the earth, okay? We're talking about people. And so while you cannot isolate yourself, you know what that means? You can be separated in the sense that, well, you're not going to be put in a certain class all by yourself or selves if you're, say, three Christians and the rest of the unsaved are going to be put in another class at school. So it's not isolation. That is, you're not separated in that sense. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. That is, if you're a child of God, if you're born again, you're not of the world. You're unique, you're different, and you're separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a wonderful thing. And that's what we have been told again and again in the New Testament. And so a son was given, and as well as a shepherd given, and out of Egypt he was called, because he is a separated one, although he mingled with the publicans and sinners, and he ate with them, and he ministered to them, because he was God. You see, manifest in the flesh, and he was used doing exactly what he was sent to do. All right, but verse 18 of chapter 2, it says, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they were no more. I tell you, it's hard to take this in. Jeremiah 31:15 is where that quoted from, and the others that I gave you are quoted from the prophets as well. Can you imagine a wicked king like Herod, when he was discovered that he was deceived, that the wise men didn't come back and give him a message that the babe, in Bethlehem was born, the king was born, and when he knew he was deceived, he said that he ordered, thinking of the time for the visit they made to the palace, was quite a few months after that, the babe Jesus was born for quite a while. That's why he said, from 2 years of age and under, all of the male children would be killed. Said there was great weeping. Can you imagine? I think of that many, many times. And here is the suffering period in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are all those little babies didn't even know what was happening. Those little boys just beginning to walk, little toddlers, you know. When we take care of your two-year-olds and you know what it must be like. Somebody would come because Herod gave the order and would take your little boy, 2 years of age, and snatch them from your bosom and take them out and hack them with a sword or push a spear right through their little bodies and kill them. The blood was flowing very, very profusely or greatly in those in that little town of Ramah. Ramah was joined on to Bethlehem, by the way. Oh, when you think of that, it must have been a painful situation. And so the Lord had, God had his son taken out of the place and took him into Egypt to protect him. And there you have, even as a babe, he wasn't conscious of it, I suppose, and I'm not going to get into that, really that area of his life. God had designed it that he should be born as a child. And, you got to remember he was still the God-man, but as a child now. And he's going to go through the period as a child. And that's why he was hungry. He was thirsty because he willed it that way. He could have tapped into the resources. If he could turn bread and multiply them, surely he could take a few stones, even make bread out of them, and so that he wouldn't go hungry. But that was not his will. That was not his plan. That was not his purpose. The plan of his coming was he was to suffer. He is called the man of what? Sorrows. The man of sorrows. And so Bethlehem, with all the joy and the delight of his birth, also came a lot of sorrow. And so we conclude that portion. There's a lot more we could say about that. And but I think of those poor women who must have, it says, and there was no end of their suffering. That is, even after their child was killed, it says they were not comforted no more. Man, you know, it must have been a very sad thing. And of course, the last one is that in chapter 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. I won't say too much about that, because that's a great subject in itself, and it is preparation. God was preparing his son, and John the Baptist said how he was going to come and deliver the captive out of prison. He was quoting Isaiah now, you see, from going back in the Old Testament again. He's going to heal the brokenhearted. And he's going to help the needy. And there's so many things in that chapter that the Lord Jesus was going to do. And he did it. He did it when he came and walked on the earth. So you see, he was not just a babe of Bethlehem, but he was a child that grew up in favor with man and with God and in adulthood. And it was all designed that he might go to Calvary. And someone has said, we could have 1,000 Bethlehems and 1,000 births of the Lord Jesus. But if he didn't have the cross, then the birth itself would be, I wouldn't say insignificant, but would not have the value that it would have. He came, yes, as a babe. We sing about the cradle, and we do well to do this. Coming of the Lord in his birth always brings delight and joy to our hearts. But always remember, it was the cross that God the Father had in mind. In fact, that's what Jesus had in mind. It was always the cross, the cross, the cross. What makes the cradle important? It was because of the cross. Always remember that. You never can separate the two. So there we have him. Carrying out the Father's will and wish, and thus even on Calvary, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God had to turn his back on his own son. Now, he didn't turn his back on his son when Herod was killing the babies. He had him, Joseph ordered to take him into Egypt. God didn't turn his back on him then. But now, on the cross, God couldn't look on him. Has he changed? What is the difference? Did he sin? Of course not. He could not sin. In him was no sin. And now why would God turn his back? You know what it means for a father to turn his back on his son and not to look as if he didn't care? Now I know God cared for his son. I know he loved his son. He said so. But why is it that God turned his back on his son then? Why? Was he disobedient? No. In fact, he was obedient. He did everything that was right. You know why? Everybody, young people, children, it's good to learn this lesson. You know why God turned his back on him? It's because your sin and my sin was placed on him. And God couldn't look on his son because of our sin. And he turned his back. Only for a while. That's why when Jesus cried on the cross, because he died that he might take away your sin and my sin. That's why when he cried, finished! Finished! And he gave up the ghost. That is, and then his life went from him. And he went into the hands of his Father again. His spirit was taken into heaven. Later he was raised from the grave and with a body, that same body, but a different, this time the body is a glorified body. It's a body that wasn't like the body before. It was different. Now, I don't want to confuse you here, but it was a supernatural body. It was a great body. It was a body that could go through concrete walls. Brady, there's going to be some, eh? When we become Christians and later on when he comes for his church, we're going to have glorified bodies like the Lord Jesus. The Bible says we're going to have a body just like the body of Jesus. And you could be able to go through the air faster than Superman. Man, you know, that's something, eh? My Superman is just a story. You know, poor Superman is sick. Now he's got back trouble. He's on his back. And I say this with real pity in my heart and love. You know, he fell off a horse. I don't know if you know that. Mr. Christopher Reeve, who acted as Superman. See, even the Superman that acted in Hollywood, they get sick. And he can't walk. And I say that with sorrow in my heart. I'm not happy about that, all right? But that's the Superman that the world created. But our Superman, I finish with this, the Lord Jesus Christ would never, never be weak or sick, never have any problems, and he'll live on forever, forever and forever because he's God. And he says in his book, this book, when we shall see the Lord, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that day you're going to see him. And you are going to be like him. Man, I tell you, sometimes it gets you so excited sometimes, it feels like jumping a couple of feet, but I'm not as young as Tom Roberts. Oh boy, but it's something to get excited over. Amen? Just remember, all those scriptures I quoted, you quoted, in the Old Testament, are fulfilled. That's what makes the Bible real and precious, you see? Okay? You can trust your Bible. No matter what anybody will tell you, you say, I believe the Word of God. I believe in God's Word. And don't let anybody shake you from that belief. And you'll never be sorry. And may God help you and help us really enjoy the Word of God and to obey the Word of God. That's where we get all the blessings. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you indeed for your Word, and we thank you for the lovely singing tonight that exalted the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, singing about his coming into the world as a babe. Oh, how we were blessed. We thank you for the holiness of the Lord Jesus, for the greatness of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for the power of that precious name. And it is our prayer indeed that day by day you will continue to bless the people of God
You'll encourage the hearts of these dear ones here, these little ones. We thank you for each one. Thank you for the way they study the Bible week by week. Pray, Lord, that you guide them in their life and protect them and keep them as only you can do. Remember again all of the aged, the shut-in, the sick. Pray special blessings to be with them. We ask, Father, that you remember our men as well out on the high seas. Oh, God, the sea is turbulent and the difficult days and nights for them. Lord, I pray, or we pray, in a special way that you'll be with them. Guide them, keep them, and bring them home to us safely is our prayer, that we might enjoy Christmas together. We commend them all to you at this time, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, children, for being so attentive.